We should hear something from Australia's, from Van Diemen's Land, from our most southern state. The group behind Tasmania's successful winter festival, Dark Mofo, has commissioned a large-scale permanent artwork at Ida Bay in the state's south to draw tourists back to the area. The artwork is part of Project X, an artistic initiative by Dark Lab aimed at bringing visitors back to the Huon Valley after pretty devastating 2019 bushfires. It's been announced that the artwork will be the creation of American artist Doug Aitken, whose work has been displayed around the world. The piece will be installed within the Ida Bay State Reserve, about 500-odd metres from the Ida Bay Railway site. Joining us now to discuss the project is Dark Lab's creative director, Lee Carmichael. Lee, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Jared.
So, first of all, tell us a little bit about how the project came about. How did Dark Lab become involved?
Well, we were actually approached by, I think it was the Huon Valley Council and interested tourism bodies after the bushfires in 2019 to see whether we'd be interested in taking on a project with pretty loose boundaries, really, in terms of what the project would be. But the aim was to do something in the region to lure tourists back. And we put our hand up and... shortly after that, the federal government came up with $1.5 million for the project. I think the state politicians lobbied pretty hard, which was great, and it was matched with a further $500 from the state government. So we were given a couple of mil to see what we could come up with, and Doug Aitken's Transformer is the hero piece, if you like, of that money.
Sounds good. I can imagine that while kind of directing a project like this can be a multitude of hurdles to fall on your part. What have been some of the most significant kind of issues thus far, and I guess how have you overcome them? I guess $2 million might help in that regard.
Well, the area that we've chosen is about an hour and a half drive from Hobart, so the distance is, you know, a challenge in itself. But probably the biggest challenge we've faced really is just the lack of infrastructure down there. You know, government want us to attract kind of 80,000 to 100,000 visitors was the original objective. We looked long and hard for months and couldn't really find a site suitable to deal with that sort of that number of people, you know, in terms of just visitor services. We were actually originally looking at just a, you know, a short-term one-off type project. But we couldn't hit those numbers. The infrastructure's not there. So we've opted for a permanent work and so we can get smaller numbers over a longer period of time,
right,
which seems to make sense. So distance is a problem, but, you know, we'll turn that into an advantage because when you're down there, you really, it is a whole other world. It's a pretty amazing place. There's almost nothing else down there for tourists other than the Hastings Cave. And, yeah, infrastructure. So we're going to have to put some of our own, well, we're going to build a visitor centre, essentially.
Yes, cool.
Take care of them, yeah.
How good are, I guess, the Tasmanian government at, like, kind of championing stuff like this? I know, for instance, any time I've ever seen anything, whether it be in film or kind of artworks and stuff, when it's based or coming out of Tasmania, there always seems to be a big thank you or at least a representation of the government. Is that, I guess, something like yourself, like with Dark Mofo and stuff, has that been the case with those examples as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was slower at the start, but the state government are huge supporters. I think where we're lucky is... I guess we've earned some respect and credibility over the years through Mona and Dark Mofo and Mona Foma. So now there's a good, strong relationship and a lot of trust. I think being given, you know, $2 million from either federal or state government for an unknown project is pretty unheard of. So I don't know for certain, but I doubt there'd be too many other examples. I guess that just shows the trust they have in our organisation. And so far, we've been able to deliver, and touch wood, we'll continue to do so. But you do really never know with these types of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly had our moments where we thought, geez, I'm sure we should have taken this one on. It's harder than we thought. but anyway, we do it because we love it.
So how does the resident artist from the USA, no less Doug Aitken, work to incorporate elements of the area? I'd imagine it's pretty rugged terrain. And how can visitors interact with the work?
Yeah, well, the work, well, firstly, you know, we invited Doug Aitken to bring out, we actually approached him hoping we could use or install one of his mirror houses, which I think are called Mirage. he wasn't keen on that, as most artists aren't. The work was developed somewhere else. So he visited Tasmania, luckily for us, pre-COVID, late last year. We found the site together, and the work that he's come up with, I think, is a reflection of that visit and in response to the site. And it's essentially a cement box, which will be half buried, with a kind of internal kaleidoscope that will reflect the landscape from around the area in quite a few different directions, including the sky. Mm. So it's a direct response to the place, and I think it'll be an interesting way to experience it. It's pretty isolated, so hopefully it won't be huge numbers at any one time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very brief description of the artwork.
Is the hope that, fingers crossed, it might become some sort of a, I guess, something that tourists want to go and check out, especially considering, well, I can only imagine those bushfires had a brutal impact on the tourism and then, I guess, the economy in the area?
Yeah, it is. You know, we're hoping once we're established, open late next year, that we can kind of start off with around 30,000 visitors, and that could get as high as 50 or 60,000 per annum.
Mm-hmm.
The area, the region was impacted massively by the bushfires, but interestingly, I think it's even more important now with COVID than it was, because that's just taken another hit. And of course, Tassie, with our borders closed, are really missing that activity from the tourists.
Yeah.
What
about yourself? I know, like, alluding to that, I suppose, the closure of the borders. What about Dark Mofo? I know that was pretty well kind of, well, it was cancelled for the year. I had a couple of mates that were pretty keen to get down there and that had been down there the year previous that loved it. What are the plans for 2021?
Well, we want to go ahead, but I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to get any international artists in. Interstate and interstate is hard to know. I think it'll probably be okay by then. Essentially, in a nutshell, we're planning to run a festival that abides by the current restrictions so that it's almost cancel-proof. I don't think it's going to be anything like what we've done in the past, but there are some opportunities to experience things, getting out into the kind of gothic Tasmanian wilderness with small numbers and having fairly intense, intimate experiences as opposed to really boisterous urban kind of partying.
Yeah.
So it'll be a completely different experience. We hope that it's still pretty powerful, but it'll be a very different looking event. I'm not even sure I want to call it a festival at this point. And we'll just continue to be flexible in relation to the rules. But at the moment, instead of waiting for a phone call to say that everything's fine and everything will be open, we're just going to design an event with the current restrictions in mind. So we almost can't be cancelled.
So you're going to lean on, I guess, some Tassie acts, at least in kind of the music element of the quote-unquote festival. I know Ace Wasey and the Ghost gets a bit of a spin onto SER. I'm a big fan of those guys, but will there be some other Tassie acts that you'll probably want to get involved?
Yeah, we're doing looking around now. Obviously, we're reasonably familiar with the local scene. We are still hoping to get some bands down from Melbourne, Sydney and across Australia. And it's not out of the question that international artists, you know, they may be able to come, but I guess it's a long shot at this point. I don't think music will be a massive part of next year, though. We will do some shows, but I think that just with the restrictions, it just doesn't feel right. You know, at the moment, there's no dancing, and everyone has to have a seat. It just doesn't really fit with what we do. So if we think the experience will be hurt to a point that it's not worth doing, we'll just put it off and wait for 2022 and bring that element of the festival back in a big way.
Fair enough. Well, fingers crossed for you. Thanks so much for joining us on the show this morning, Lee. I do appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, Jared.
Have a good week. Bye.